Yes, I got mine. Thank you. Thank you, Christy. It's always a little humbling to have somebody stand up in front of a bunch of people and talk about you like that. Thank you for that introduction, because in reality, the truth of it is, if I have to describe myself, it's I'm not there yet. And so just to get one thing out of the way, some people, when they've watched me speak, they notice something. My face can turn several shades of really weird red. Don't worry, I won't combust. So just ignore it, and if you'd pray with me, please. Dear Lord, thank you for each woman that you've brought here today. I don't know where they've all come from. I don't know the conditions of their hearts, but you do. Some were eager to come here this morning, and maybe some were just having a really hard time getting out of bed. And whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you would help them to see you and to know you today in a special way, and that the words that I say would just be from you, that nothing that I would do or nothing that I wouldn't do would distract from the message you want for each of these women. Mostly, Lord, just wrap your spirit around each one of these women with your arms of love. Help each one of them feel your presence and your love and your peace. In your precious name, amen. If you could close your eyes for one more moment, I know many of you, being women, you're thinking, okay, if I close my eyes, I fall asleep. But just close your eyes for just a moment for me. I want to paint you a picture. It's really the perfect picture. Think sweet, precious, innocent baby Jesus. A peace-filled night, serene, quiet, gentle. Cattle lowing, lambs baying. It's a stable in a manger, but there's this brilliant light sparkling down from the heavens, highlighting him, this baby, angels proclaiming him, shepherds and wise men, both of them worshiping him, his mother pondering all these things in her heart. This perfect baby, perfect in every way, not just fingers and toes, but in body and spirit. We celebrate this picture every year. We sing quiet carols. We put up twinkling, soft lights. Frustrated with rushing around for presents and money, we just crave hushed evenings at home where we can light candles, cuddle with blankets, read of the first Christmas, and celebrate peace. This perfect baby with his sweet, precious mother, who's herself untouched yet by men, a young woman chosen especially by God. It's a beautiful story. You can open your eyes. Because, ladies, while I love that picture, you know, when I look at it, it seems so ethereal, just so perfect, almost like a Hallmark movie or a Thomas Kinkade painting. And it's easy to just pack it all up at the end of December and get back to the reality of my life with all my not there yet moments and my Mother of the Year awards. You guys received any of those? And here's Mary with this baby born from a perfect, magnificent royal lineage, all the way back to Sarah and Abraham, the matriarch and patriarch of this glorious group of people. They were the parents to the entire Jewish nation. Can you imagine being a part of that family tree? Here's Sarah. She left her family and her home in a busy city to follow her husband into the wilderness, all without any registered complaint. The perfect matriarch for this glorious line. All right, yes, Sarah was a bit older than your normal first-time mom. Okay, a lot older. She was over 90. And up until then, she'd been barren. She couldn't have any children. And in fact, when the angel of the Lord came and told her that she would have a baby, she laughed at him. And before that, when the Lord promised Abraham and Sarah that they would have children, she got impatient. She pushed her handmaid on Abraham as a surrogate mother. And when that handmaid had Abraham's child and rubbed it in Sarah's face, Sarah's jealousy got the best of her. She kicked both the mother and the child out. Well, then at least she had a daughter-in-law, Rebecca, who was better, right? Because Abraham, Sarah, yes, older than 90, did finally have a child, a boy named Isaac. And he married the beautiful, gracious Rebecca, mother of Jacob, who would later father the 12 tribes of Israel. Then again, Jacob wasn't an only child. Rebecca had twins, Jacob and Esau. And because Rebecca played favorites and decided to trick her husband into giving the birthright, taking it from one son, Esau, and giving it to the other brother, Jacob, she pitted brother against brother. Jacob ended up running, having to leave the family, running for his life. Okay, Jacob's wife. Well, he had two. His first, Leah, the one who ended up in Jesus' direct lineage, Jacob didn't even love her. In fact, he was tricked into marrying her, and when he really wanted her sister, his second wife, who Leah spent the rest of her life competing with. Leah had Judah. He grew up, had his own sons, and married the oldest one to a woman named Tamar. And after a series of family tragedies, Tamar was set aside and forgotten. But God didn't forget her. He didn't forget any of these women, even in the mess of their lives. Whether old and jealous, picking favorites and causing family discord, unloved, set aside or forgotten, each of these women was still given a special chosen spot in Christ's lineage. What's more, Sarah and the sons or grandsons of all these other women, they ended up in God's faithful list. And what is that? It's a list of people the Bible says were faithful, and God said that he was not ashamed to be called their God. Makes you wonder. Maybe it was because they were all Israelites, God's chosen people. Except then there's Rahab. She was also in that line, but she wasn't from Israel. She wasn't a Jew. In fact, Rahab was an Amorite. She was from the city of Jericho, a place that laughed at the Jews. Their enemies. They were enemies from way back. And she was a prostitute. But not only did she make it into Christ's family tree, she made it into his faithful list. Then later, her daughter-in-law, Ruth, she wasn't a Jew either. She was a widow from Moab. And that tribe started from incest between a man and his daughter. Ruth remarried Rahab's son and became the grandmother of the great King David, who is said to be a man after God's own heart. Of course, David's wife was Bathsheba, also gorgeous, but an adulteress, one who allowed herself to be manipulated and then turned around and manipulated others. Makes you think, was there anyone innocent in Christ's lineage? There's Mary, sweet, kind, pure Virgin Mary. The angel even said, "You have found favor with God, Mary." Of course, she was poor, and she wouldn't have thought she was anything special. Later, we see her as a normal mom, impatient and worrying, angry with her son when she couldn't find him. "Where have you been? Why did you treat us this way?" Any of you said that to your kids? Gossiping to him at a wedding, even expecting him to act on her timetable. "Jesus, they run out of wine." Harping on him for what she thought should be his priorities. "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." Well, ladies, this perfect picture looks a bit different now. Looks a bit more like a soap opera. And yet God chose each one of them to be in his lineage. If this is what Christ's royal lineage looks like, maybe they're not so different from me after all. I mean, on my best days, I can be riddled with pride. "I'm not so bad. I'm not like her." or on my worst? How could Christ love me? I'm just a mess. And then I'm left just praying, Lord, thank you for loving me in spite of the me part. In fact, all those evenings when I just want peace and quiet at home, I'm just as likely to find myself arguing with my children, complaining to my husband because the tree isn't straight, and worrying about getting everything done that I want to get done. Can any of you relate? So what hope is there for me, for you, as people, as women? Takes me back, all the way back to Eve, the first woman, where it all started, where we all started. Genesis, the first book in the Bible, tells us she was created special, with a purpose and in the image of God. Not just boy-girl camel, boy-girl duck, boy-girl man. Yes, God created a male and female of each animal. But when it came to humans, his last creation, he created Adam alone. And then he waited. Like he wanted Adam to realize the difference. And then God said, this isn't good. He's alone. So he put him to sleep, removed a rib, and created a very special type of person, perfect for Adam. Not lesser. Not his servant. A part of Adam himself. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. The same breath that the Lord breathed into Adam, that same breath coursed through Eve. Genesis 1:27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And then, verse 31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. He chose to create Eve, and he chose to create her deliberately, honoring her and giving her a special part in creation. Of course, the story of what happened after that has been well told. Both Adam and Eve were naked and together, and they were not ashamed, and they had everything they could possibly want with just one little rule, one little tiny rule, and they chose to break it. To follow the devil who tempted them, to be rebellious, choosing their own way over God's, choosing a way of death rather than life, and suddenly they were searching for leaves to cover their disgrace. By now I'm thinking we're all blinking. We were talking about the peaceful birth of a sweet baby. How did we get here? Well, with Adam and Eve's actions, they basically told God to stuff it. So as God came down to remove them from his paradise, to send away these two that he had chosen to create in his own image, he had chosen to breathe his own breath into, he could have wiped them out for good. But he still chose them, chose to promise a way of salvation, a way of saving them both. With Eve having a very special part in that salvation, it was her seed, a baby. She would have a son, and that son would conquer the devil, their sin, and the death that that sin had brought on. Do you wonder what she was thinking when she birthed her first son, Cain? Did she think he would be that son? That he would be the answer? Or maybe it was her second son, Abel? And then, what of the day when the one son, in a fit of jealousy, killed the other? Did she wonder if God had forgotten them? But he hadn't. And how do I know? Because of that family tree. Because of the royal lineage. Because Eve did have another baby, Seth. And so began the begats. Seth begat Enosh. Enosh begat Canaan. Canaan begat Mahalalel, who begat Jared, who begat Enoch, all the way down to Noah, who begat Shem, and on down the line until a man named Terah, begat a boy named Abraham, who begat a baby, Isaac, with his 90-year-old wife, Sarah. And looking at these lists of names, there's not a doubt in anyone's mind that mankind saw it as a man's world. But ladies, if you take a look at the first book in the New Testament, the book of Matthew, the book where the main purpose is to show Christ's royalty, we will see in the names of Jesus Christ's royal lineage, specially chosen by God, specifically named by name, four women: Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Mary. The forgotten one, the prostitute, the widow, the virgin. And I could see each one of them, plus Sarah and Rebecca and Leah and Bathsheba, repeating the words of Luke 1:25 with another woman. Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my disgrace among people. My disgrace. Have you ever felt that way? Ever wish someone could take away your disgrace? For these women, he chose them in spite of their backgrounds, in spite of their situations, in spite of their sins, redeeming their lives that to the rest of the world looked worthless and lost and used up. He gave them a purpose and claimed their lives for him. He gave them a part in the life he would bring in the world, a perfect little baby who would start out humbly in a manger, in a stable, but who would grow up to be the savior of the world. Because this little baby was not like any other. There had been millions of babies born across the centuries, but all of them, everyone, had the same exact issue. They carried with them that sin of Adam and Eve. This little baby, he was God coming to earth in human form, human flesh, through the royal lineage that he had picked himself to rescue us from ourselves and our lost lives. To sacrifice himself, to crush the head of the devil and lead us to life. To redeem us unto himself by paying for all the sins that weigh us down. To die instead of us, bearing our sin and our shame on the cross, if we will only believe and trust in him. In the words of Mary herself, singing to the Lord, as she realized who the baby was in her womb, she said, "The mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name." But she knew it wasn't just a momentary improvement, not something that she'd pack away at the end of the month. It was a life-changing, eternally redemptive change of her life from the inside out. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Mary knew the peace that filled the stable that night when she birthed baby Jesus, had nothing to do with the perfect setting or the cozy feelings. And it had nothing to do with what she had done or who she was. The peace came from God, loving us so much, choosing us, redeeming our lives, and paying for our sins as he came as a baby, grew up, and died on a cross. I know last year, this message became very real to me in a way I never would have expected. Suddenly, everything I touched seemed to crumble, disintegrating into dust. Nothing I did worked for months. For months, my talents and abilities, my health, my kids, my reputation, the work I had put in for 13 years crumbled. They were attacked, and I was left feeling barren and infertile and useless and a complete failure. and I felt about as worthwhile as a dirty wash rag with dog hair all over it that had been left to sit and sour. What a pretty picture, huh? And I found myself standing right there a year ago from tomorrow, sobbing, "Lord, I'm sorry. I've got nothing. I'm useless. I'm worthless." And his response, "Elizabeth, child, I did not choose you for your worth. I did not choose you for anything that you do. I chose you for my worth. I gave you worth not because of what you do, but because you were created in my image. I gave you worth because I gave my life for you. I gave you worth because I have adopted you into my family. You are mine." And I knew without a doubt that no matter what happened around me in this world, my heart was at peace with him. So what about you? Are you older, a widow, unloved, forgotten? Jealous, manipulative, impatient, foreign, used, abused, or just feeling lost? I know for me, I could repeat the words of Romans 7:19 every day. "For I do not do the good that I want to do, but the evil I don't want to do, I keep on doing." And yet he's saying, "Come as you are." Like Sarah, Leah, Tamar, Rahab, Bathsheba, and Mary, "Come to me. I have chosen you. I want to redeem you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Isaiah 41:9-10. "You whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, 'You are my servant. I have chosen you, and I have not cast you off. Fear not. I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.'" He's there for you, ladies. He's waiting for you to come. He's wants you as a part of his family. He knows my name. He knows your name. He loves you, and he has a plan for you and a purpose, and his hand is outstretched. This time of the year, it looks like a baby's hand, an infant hand waving above the manger, reaching toward that shiny star shining down from heaven on him. But truly, it's a picture of a promise come true. The promised seed of Eve, breaking the curse of sin's rebellion, God's hand with the scar of a nail pounded there for you. He's wanting to pay your debts, to make you whole, to graft you into his family tree, and to declare you chosen and redeemed.